Hudson?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carries. Mr. Moore, we're on. We're ready.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I'll read the rules of procedure, County Council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record, along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in the chambers, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give your statement. If speaking telephonically when you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there's no background noise or discussions. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, you can hand it to Mr. Whitehouse and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of the council hearing, council will defer action on the application in those cases only. In those cases only, council shall accept and consider written comments from the public on the commission's recommendation to the council for a period of 5 calendar days following commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude the council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both the council and commission hearings. Mr. President, the first matter today is conditional use number 2415. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an electrical substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 37.74 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the west side of Reynolds Road, which is Sussex County Route 233, approximately 0.26 mile north of Zion Church Road, which is Sussex County Route 233. 35. The 911 address is 12872 Reynolds Road, Milton, and the tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 8, Parcel 2.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of the staff analysis. We have a copy of the applicant's site plan. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We also note, I would note that we've received no comments. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission and its meeting of July 27th of this year. And at the meeting of July 27th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the four reasons stated and subject to the five recommended conditions as outlined within the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of that meeting are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions from Council? If not, is the applicant or your representative available? Come forward, give us your name and address, please.
Hello, Dana Dunphy with Century Engineering, 550 Bay Road, Dover, Delaware. Okay. I'm here representing DEC. They're requesting a conditional use to allow a substation to be built on the certain property on Reynolds Road.
Sure.
So the property would have access off of Reynolds Road with one entrance. We have been in discussions with DLDOT to apply for a safety permit for the entrance as well. And then we would just have an access road back, and then the substation would be at the rear of property, and we would fence it and also landscape.
Okay. Did you have anything else to offer?
I do not, Dave. Okay. Do you have anything?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Did any of the council have any questions?
Questions to council?
Yeah. Nope. If not, you can have a seat.
Thank
Is there
you.
Anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
At this time, there's no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council. Close public record. Ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an electrical substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 37.7482 acres, more or less, for the reasons 1 through 4 given by planning and zoning with conditions 5A through E.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion to approve.
Motion, Mrs. Green, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Green.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning and testimony here this morning, afternoon, I vote yes.
Mr. Schaefer.
I vote yes based on a recommendation of planning and zoning commission.
Mr. Hudson.
I agree with planning and zoning. I vote yes as well.
Mr. Riley.
I'll also vote yes based on planning and zoning's recommendations.
I also agree with P&Z's reasons and conditions. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for setting a good example on how to manage your time.
That's right.
Just wondering if Mr. Hutt learned yes. anything from that one.
We'll see.
Yes. The next matter, Mr. President, is change zone number 1985, and I know that we did discuss the Sussex County 15-minute rule, but
that
after that one, it may be shorter.
That is correct.
Mr. Wojtaszek.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an M marine district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 5.1 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the south side of John J. Williams Highway, which is Route 24, approximately 0.26 miles southeast of Camp Arrowhead Road. The 911 addresses are 20565 and 20581 John J. Williams Highway, Lewis, and the tax parcel ID is District 237, Map 7, and its parcels 111.00 and 112.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the property's legal description, we have a copy of the applicant's record plat, we have a copy of the applicant's project booklet, and the plus comments, we have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, and a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. I would note that we received 8 comments in total, One appears to be in support and several appear to be in opposition. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission and its meeting of July 27th of this year. At the meeting of August 10th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 10 reasons as outlined within the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Hutt.
Make sure that's on.
It is, yeah.
Appreciate the time that Council has afforded for this application this afternoon. This afternoon, I am representing Love Creek Acquisition LLC, which is the applicant for the application that was just introduced by Mr. Whitehouse a moment ago. With me this afternoon, on behalf of the applicant, is Joe Calabro. My left, your right. Sitting next to him is Alan Hill, a professional engineer with Hillcrest Associates. This is an application this afternoon about trying to find the right zoning classification to match a property using all the land planning tools, but also sort of a unique situation. And you'll see how many different categories of land tools this property impacts and touches upon. In my career, and I know many of you have seen many applications, whether it's on the Planning Commission or here at Council, a marine application is not a common application. You very rarely see it when you look at a tax map. And I myself have never presented a public hearing application that involved the Marine District and went back through some of the history of Sussex County and couldn't find another application seeking to change the designation of a property from any zoning classification to Marine. I think they were designated that way when the county adopted its zoning map in the late 1960s and early 1970s. This afternoon's application does seek to do that. It seeks to change the zoning classification of two pieces of property from AR1, Agricultural Residential District, to the M, or Marine District. And two things pointed to this being the right zoning district for this property. First is, of course, the zoning of the adjacent property immediately to the east or north of this property. Secondly are the planning tools that are afforded to this body when it evaluates change of zone applications. Whether those tools are within the county code or county comprehensive plan, or even the state's planning and strategy tools that it has. On the screens around the room is an aerial photograph. The property is located right under the cursor, right here. Again, Route 24 would be this large highway that runs this way. As all of you will recognize, this is a busy area of Sussex County, whether we want to talk commercially or residentially, both are involved in this area. Of course, this would be Love Creek with the Love Creek Bridge. This is the residences at Rehoboth Bay. The Love Creek Marina, of course, runs along Love Creek and wraps between the residences at Rehoboth Bay and Route 24. And of course, as you travel west or south on 24, there's several manufactured home communities adjacent to the site, and then as you approach the intersection with Camp Arrowhead Road, of course, there is the Valero gas station on this side, a Dollar General store on the opposite side, and of course, where the cursor is located is Peddler's Village. As introduced by Mr. Whitehouse, this does have two tax parcels that are involved for a total of 5.1 acres. Of course, this is an image, and it's hard to see in the upper left-hand corner, but this is a current aerial image. In the project books, that aerial image, we went back to 1992. And if you looked at that, you would see that both the residences at Rehoboth Bay, as well as the site that we're here for this afternoon, have both been used historically for various types of boat storage, boat maintenance. And if we go back and look, or go down rather, and look at this photograph is from 2018. You can see some of that here. This is the property we are here for today. And of course, this is where the residence is at Rehoboth Bay. As you can see, the Old Salt Road is identified there. But you can see that these properties were both used traditionally and historically very similarly. As I mentioned at the outset, when we looked at the planning tools for this property, the Marine District stood out. The Of course, one of the county's reference points for any land use decision is the state strategies maps and the Office of State Planning Coordination and its PLUS process. And this project, or this change of zone rather, went through that process. And on the state strategies map, you can see, and it's very hard to see, so I changed the coloration a little bit on this. You can see that, of course, Love Creek is here, and this property would be right here, extending from Route 24 back into this wetland area here. I noted this at the Planning Commission. When you look here in the lower left-hand corner for the types of state, or levels rather, of state strategies, there are five. This property, even though it's 5 acres, contains four of those five. And so you can see that the beginning of the property right along Route 24 is level two. As it goes back towards the rear of the lots, you have level three. And then the unshaded color is level four. And then, of course, it actually extends back into that wetland area, which is an out-of-play designation. So this property actually has four of the five designations that are within the state strategies maps. When it went through the PLUS process, the PLUS process focused on the fact that the beginning or front of these properties is in an investment level two area. As council is familiar, in investment level two areas, they are considered like investment level one areas, and state investments and policies should support and encourage a wide range of uses and densities. Investments should encourage departure from typical single-family dwelling developments and promote a broader mix of housing types and commercial sites, encouraging compact, mixed-use development where applicable. And I'm going to focus on mixed-use development throughout the presentation this afternoon. When you looked at the PLUS letter, you also saw that the Office of State Planning Coordination had no objection to this change of zone application. This is the Sussex County tax map. Again, you can see the residences at Rehoboth, which is a 180-unit condominium, which is why you don't see 180 little lots there. It's just shown as one tax parcel. And of course, the Love Creek Marina is a 59 slip marina. And in the portion of the wider portion of the property here, there is a restaurant that's in the permitting process for that location. Of course, the two tax parcels we're here on this afternoon are highlighted in yellow. And of course, you can see Route 24 being shown on that property. This is the current county zoning map. And as was indicated when I began, the reason why the Marine District was selected as the applicant's desire for this property was because that is the district for the residences at Rehoboth Bay as well as the Love Creek Marina. You can see there's a number of other zoning classifications along this portion of Route 24, starting just on the other side of the Love Creek Bridge. That yellow color would be medium density residential, MR. And of course, as you travel then past this property, on the opposite side of the road is the pinkish color, and that is B1 zoning. And then as you travel to the intersection with Camp Arrowhead Road there, you have where the Valero gas station is B1, and then all of the commercial uses that are across the street or across the road on Route 24 are C1, the county's old general commercial district, and then behind it is a residential subdivision that is zoned MR. Like the state strategies map that we looked at before, which again had four classifications, the county's future land use map has this as a split designated property on it. You can see these red areas are, of course, the county's commercial areas, and then the yellow areas behind it, about halfway or two-thirds of the way through the property to the rear, are within the county's coastal area. Council, of course, knows that these are both growth areas within the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. I would note that there is an anomaly that Mr. Whitehouse confirmed that the Planning Commission is just an electronic mapping area. This area right across the street is not a low-density area. It is actually either commercial or coastal. It is one of the county's growth areas, and so is the Valero gas station. Those are not, of course, low-density areas. Just somehow the electronic mapping is not picking up whatever the right color would be for those properties. As council is familiar, both the commercial area and coastal areas are growth areas. The commercial area is described in the comprehensive plan as including concentrations of retail and service uses that are mainly located along arterials and highways. Significantly is, to this application is, of course, that Route 24 is designated by DLDOT as a major collector or a major roadway pursuant to that designation within the comprehensive plan. Within that description in the comprehensive plan, the commercial district, it goes on to state that mixed-use buildings may also be appropriate for these areas. Again, it's a reference to a mixed-use nature of the properties, which is what the Marine District also anticipates. Within the coastal area, the comprehensive plan makes similar statements, noting that a range of housing types should be permitted, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. Retail and office uses are appropriate. And then there's a large paragraph, and that paragraph ends with appropriate mixed-use development should also be allowed. The properties, as you can see on the screen, that surround this have the same designation as these properties on the future land use map, and in fact, many of them to the west or south of this property bear that same split designation of being both commercial and coastal areas on the future map, future land use map. As the county is familiar, within the comprehensive plan, there is table 4.5-2 that shows zoning districts that are applicable to various areas and designated within the future land use map. And the Marine District is, when you look at table 4.5-2, is an appropriate zoning district in both the commercial area as well as the coastal area for this designation. This slide just shows that this entire area, absent the mapping area, is within a growth area of Sussex County, whether it's in the coastal area or the commercial area. And of course, the property we're talking about is right in the middle of the image there, but everything that surrounds it is either coastal or commercial, located along Route 24. As shown on this slide here, this property is within a Tier 1 area for planning purposes, which, as you know from your visits with Han Ms. Lars on a regular basis, Tier 1 are areas where hook up to the county sewer system or to a public sewer system are mandated, so that would be part of this. Cross-hatching on this map shows that this area is the subject of a water, public water CPCN through Tidewater. What this indicates, of course, is that when you combine Sussex County's sewer tier map with the CPCN map for this area, public utilities are available to the site through Tidewater in Sussex County. Small portion of the site near the back portion of the site here, as shown on this DENREC map, does contain wetlands, and of course any future site development would have to comply with section 115-93, the county's resource protection or buffer ordinance, as many people often refer to it. A small portion of the property is located within a wellhead protection area. You can see there's a tiny portion of this circle right underneath the cursor that is within a wellhead protection area. And of course, Chapter 89's resource protection standards would be applied to that. I would imagine that in that small of an area, the 35% threshold would never be met as far as impervious cover. The property is located within a fair groundwater recharge area. There are no known historical sites or endangered species on the site. This is also a portion of the FEMA map for the property. You can see that portion, like everything else about this property, it is split among several designations. At the front of the property, closer to Route 24, it's in Zone X or not located within a floodplain. And then as you move to the rear of the property, it is located in Zone AE, as are many of the properties along the inland bays and its waterways. A service level evaluation request was filed with DLDOT prior to the application being filed. And DLDOT responded to that and also responded during the PLUS review process. Through that, DLDOT indicated that it recommended that the county consider this change of zone application without requiring a traffic impact study, and that it would reevaluate that when there was a site plan by which it would know what the anticipated traffic would be for the site. During its plus review comments, DLDOT also noted and confirmed that the property is located within the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District, and as council is familiar, that requires an applicant to complete their entrance improvements for whatever their future plans are for the property, and then to pay a per unit fee to DLDOT for its improvements that it makes within all the areas contained within the Transportation Improvement District. Specifically to this site, and again, this is not a site plan review, of course, nor is it an application for this use, but everybody always wants to know what the plan is. And Mr. Whitehouse, can you help me turn that counterclockwise? Then I thought I could have done it myself. This is a conceptual site plan for the property. Of course, Route 24 lies under the cursor here. This would be the residences at Rehoboth Bay. And if the plat went far enough, Love Creek and the Love Creek Marina would be down here. This is intended to be a mixed-use building with a bait and tackle store, perhaps some other type of restaurant or tourist-type use on the first floor, with residential uses above it, likely apartments. And then this is intended to be this whole area back here would be a boat repair and maintenance yard, not too dissimilar from the historical use of the property in perhaps a more organized fashion than has historically existed at the site. There is a cross-access easement that connects this property to the Love Creek Marina down here that would allow for a boat to be transported from the marina to this site back here without ever having to access Route 24. And I'll show you that in a moment in a little more detail. During the public hearing before the Planning Commission, some of the concerns that were referenced were, one, that the Marine District has a broad number of uses. When you look at the permitted uses that exist for the Marine District, it is expansive. It's similar in many respects to the old C1 General Commercial District that the county had at that time. And as I've indicated a number of times, when you look at the planning tools and the multi-layered nature of this property, the various growth districts in which it lies in, its proximity to those to the Marine District, those things all pointed to the Marine District zoning classification that is sought this afternoon. One of the specific concerns or comments that was referenced was that, like the old C1 in the Marine District, of course, the maximum density would be that same number of 12 units to the acre. And so this, when this concern was referenced, that it was noted that under AR1 presently, if you meet all the qualifications, as this property does, at its proximity to a major collector, the availability of public water and sewer, and those types of matters, this could also have 12 units to the acre under the county's recently adopted Sussex County rental program, which would be, again, be a residential use of that nature. But more importantly than perhaps even that is that when you look at the aerial imagery we looked at before, if you start at Love Creek, you would see there's 180 condominium units that are the residences at Rehoboth Bay. This property, which is presently, has been cleaned up by the applicant, but was historically used for boat storage. But then the rest of the properties, as you travel further west or south on Route 24, are manufactured home communities. And if you pull up the tax imagery and look at them, you'll see that they're small in acreage, but high in number of units. So they have a very similar density. For instance, the property right next door has over 20 addresses in it and is 2 acres. So that's a density of a little over 10 units to the acre within that. And that continues all the way down to the Valero gas station that exists there. And I point that out to just to note that this is essentially a multifamily use, and that would be appropriate in this section of Sussex County where you have public utilities. You're on a major collector. There are many employment centers in any direction that you move from that property, whether you head east or you head west. There are employment centers all along Route 24. In addition, when you look at the county zoning code and all the various zoning districts that are there, and as council's aware, there was a number that were added that, you know, there only used to be C1, and then there was CR1, and now there's C2 through C5, and the same happens with the B or the business districts. There was a number of those that were added. When you look at all the various zoning districts, I could only locate two zoning districts that allow for a mixed use where you have both commercial type uses as well as residential uses. One of those is the county's C4 zoning district. And the C4 zoning district states in its purpose that it is intended for large scale commercial and mixed use. And large scale commercial and mixed use is not what's intended for this 5-acre site here along Route 24, which is why the C4 zoning designation was not sought for this property. And then the Marine District also is the other district that allows for that mixture of uses between residential and commercial as well. And as was explained in looking at this concept, that is the concept that the applicant seeks to effectuate for this property. In addition, because of the future land use map designation, that split designation, the applicant couldn't seek a straight MR application and seek to zone this all medium density residential. If you recall the zoning map, there was other communities in this area that are zoned MR medium density residential. However, when you look at the table 4.5-2, MR is not an approved zoning district within the commercial future land use map category. And so the MR, the applicant could have perhaps brought a commercial application for the front half of the property where the red area was, or the front two thirds, and then an MR application for the very rear portion of the lots. But rather than have some very difficult to, for the planning and zoning staff, the applicant and everyone to follow a split zoning line for those various things, the Marine or M zoning classification allows for all of those things, the mixed use, and matches the county's future land use map designation for those properties. Of course, in summary, the Marine District is supported by the site's proximity to Love Creek Marina, and of course, the inland bays. As I mentioned, after carefully considering each of the future land use map categories, each of the various zoning designations and districts, it was the applicant filed this application seeking to change these properties to a marine zoning district rather than have them be split zoned in these two growth areas, the commercial and coastal area. Of course, seeking that zoning designation matches the adjacent property. Before I conclude, I did want to address the letters and emails of opposition that were in the file. I believe every one of those emails or letters came from an individual who resides is one of the 180 unit owners within the residences at Rehoboth Bay, which is a newly constructed condominium units along the Love Creek Marina. As you saw when we looked at that 2018 aerial imagery, those units were largely looked like this property that we're here on today, just that short time ago. This past Saturday, Mr. Calabro met with the Condominium Association to discuss this application and the plans. And many of the concerns that you saw voiced in those emails that are on the county's docket raised what I would call site plan concerns. The concerns were about wetlands, the impact of stormwater management of the site, things like road improvements, whether or not there'd be a sidewalk or multi-use path along Route 24. And any development of this site, whether it's this applicant or someone else, any development of this site would be an enhancement of all of those features and all of those things. As the county is familiar, the property in its current condition, it has largely been unregulated by any agency or even, in fact, the county. For instance, presently, there has been no delineation of wetlands on the property. And so essentially, what that means is that the whole property gets used. There's no buffer that's shown, whether it's graphically on a plan or even signage that says, you know, you're approaching these wetlands and they shouldn't be used or they shouldn't be touched. In addition, stormwater, of course, is not regulated for this site presently. And through any site plan process, stormwater would be regulated through the Sussex Conservation District. And as council knows, you can't have any more stormwater than presently leave the site in the future. With respect to road improvements along Route 24, certainly DLDOT would require whatever is going into the Route 24 corridor by the way of curbing, sidewalks, multi-use paths. This property would, of course, have to participate in that process and install those as part of any site plan improvement. The other primary concern mentioned in almost every one of those letters or emails was about the easement that I mentioned that starts at the Love Creek Marina and then travels to this site. And Mr. Hill was kind enough to outline that easement in the green, because the concerns raised in those emails was that when the individuals bought in the residences at Rehoboth Bay, they were buying into a gated community, and they didn't want people from outside the community, of course, being able to drive through and use their streets and roads. And of course, that would impact their streets and roads by other people using them. And the gates for the residences at Rehoboth that are located here and also here. And as you can see, this easement does not involve anybody that would have their boat in Love Creek Marina having access to the residences at Rehoboth Bay. They would simply be out here, just like anyone who goes to that future restaurant that I mentioned will also be doing the same thing, coming in off of Route 24 and going to this location here to go to the restaurant. Those patrons do not involve the roadways behind that gate for the residences at Rehoboth Bay. In addition, I would note that this access easement would be for the Love Creek Marina between these two parcels. And boat owners hope that if you keep your boat in a marina, you only put it in and out twice a year. Now, that sometimes that's more aspirational than actual, but a boat owner hopes to put their boat in once in the spring and take it out in the fall after the summer season has gone. And so this is not a public boat ramp where people are going to be coming and going. At those 59 boat slips, theoretically, that's 100. If you double, that's 120 trips a year. Again, people's boats break down, so they may have to remove them at various times to take them to this area here if this were rezoned and that was a repair facility. There is a letter of support in the file that dovetails with this easement, and that is from the Freedom Boat Club. And the Freedom Boat Club, if you read that letter, indicated that, of course, it would be ideal to not have to have its patrons trailer their boats on highways. If any of you are a boat owner, you know that some people don't actually even license their boat trailers because they don't intend for them to be out on the highways. If they can simply keep them stored somewhere where they never have to go to a public highway, that's more convenient for them. And that's the sentiment that's reflected in the Freedom Boat Club letter as far as its ability to utilize the Love Creek Marina, which is at the end of the easement, and then use a marine storage or repair facility there. In conclusion, the marine district is a natural extension of the existing marine district, and the only zoning classification other than C4 that I mentioned a moment ago within the comprehensive plan that matches both the commercial and coastal areas and allows for mixed use of the property similar to what also exists in this area. For all those reasons, the applicant would ask that the council adopt the Planning Commission recommendation for the rezoning of these parcels to the Marine District. Certainly myself and Mr. Hill and Mr. Calabro are here to answer any questions that council may have.
Any questions?
I have a
David, the ramp, is that utilized by the public now, or is that a private ramp just for the marina?
It is a...
Existing ramp?
It is a private ramp for the marina.
So when you store your boat at the repair shop storage area, will you launch your own boat, or will the marina business launch it for you?
I'll ask Mr. Calabro to answer that question, because I don't know how the details of that operation. I'm going to assume the answer to your question is both, but if you want, if you could introduce yourself to council.
Absolutely. Joseph Calabro, thank you for your time this afternoon. It's anticipated that really the storage facility and repair facility would be just big enough to support the 59 existing tenants at the marina. So we'd see very little, call it additional business or use of the ramp vis-a-vis, you know, third party or anybody outside. And that was kind of the genesis for this idea. Users of the marina, particularly Freedom Boat Club, came to us and said, hey, we love the spot. It's working out really great. We wish we had a facility that was closer by, because either now they're driving to Shorts Marine or someplace else to get boats serviced or dry storage for the winter. So that was the impetus.
So you wouldn't anticipate there'd be 60 trips in and out of that ramp all day long?
Oh, no, sir. It wouldn't be able to support that. And frankly, with the restaurant that's going in down there, it would be detrimental to the restaurant business as well. So we couldn't accommodate something like that.
I just have one other question. It's more an administrative question. It may be for Mr. Whitehouse or Mr. Hutt. I've been asked by a number of the residences over there on the notice provision, and I suspect I know the answer, but just to, so I can tell everybody I asked the question. When notice went out to the residences, I would assume that went out to probably the condominium, because it is a condominium regime, so there was probably one notice that went out.
Sure. There would have been, hang on with me, we would have noticed every property within 200 feet. But if that includes...
But the residences at Rehoboth Bay, they would have gotten one notice. Not each individual condominium owner would have gotten a notice, would they?
Correct. It would have gone to the condominium association, but there would have been a site notice, and there would have been press notice as well. So there would be posting on the site. But there isn't on the file an exact list of every property that got noticed.
So that HOA got a notice? Just to make sure everybody that's listening or has that question understands that they were noticed. Which is yes. I just want to...
I'm just looking for it in the list. Yes, they would have been noticed. But I can actually hand you the list of all the properties that were noticed as well. So,
do you happen to see that address of where that one was mailed?
Or?
No big deal. I've...
So we noticed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 with postcard notifications, including Bay Breeze at Sunset LLC. And a lot of these properties have mailing addresses on John J. Williams Highway, Waterford Drive, Love Creek Lane, East Lane, which are, if I go to the tax parcel map.
That's fine. You answered my question.
Sure. Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a question. You said there have been, there has not been any wetland delineation as of yet, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so you don't know that there's any wetlands on that property or whether they are or aren't at this point? Because my follow-up to that would be how many buildable acres are on that parcel or on the two parcels? Say they're one.
Sure. We do know that there are wetlands in the rear. Mr. Hill would be best apt to answer this, if that's okay.
Yes, Alan Hill with AH Davenport. There is wetlands in the rear of the parcel, predominantly beyond where the county sewer access at the rear of the parcel, as you can see. If Mr. Hook could just go up slightly to show the site plan, I can.
This is a Fenrec wetlands map, actually.
Yeah, if you just, so where there's an easement that comes across and ties the property for the sewer, if I take the cursor 1 second, at this point here, there's a sewer connection for the county that runs across here. Everything on this side we know is wetlands. We don't believe there's wetlands on the uphill side of this because of the sewer line being installed across there prior to the residences being built.
Okay.
But that's where we believe the wetlands are, and that's why we stayed away from that area in the concept plan.
What I'm kind of getting at is that marine is 12 units an acre by right, correct?
That's correct.
So what's the total acreage there?
Total of the whole site is 5.1.
So if you did the math, 12 times 5.1.
60.
Yeah, okay, so we're at that.
But with the restriction, I think what Mr. Hill was explaining was with that whole area that's presumed to be wetlands on the other side of the county sewer line, obviously we'd have a park, we need to be able to park that, we need to be able to stormwater manage it.
Yep.
And you're not getting 60 units to the acre on that side.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a question. It sounds like you've made, of course, we acknowledge that 12 is the upper limit, but it sounds like you spent a good part of your presentation making the case for residential construction. So my question is, if your intention is really to do a marina and a restaurant, why didn't you just do a conditional use instead of coming in and just asking for a change of zone, which, as we know, you could change a zone and then a year later, plans change and, you know, we have something different than what was presented here today.
Sure, a conditional use application in this area along Route 24 just didn't seem to make as much sense because you don't know exactly what that commercial use is. And so if we got a commercial use for this back here to be some sort of boat repair and storage, and then 3 years from now, they can't find a tenant. Freedom Boat Club, you know, something happens and something exists there, and you can't find a tenant, then they're back here for a change of zone or some other type of conditional use application. As compared to, again, when you looked at we looked at the code and the comprehensive plan, marine encompasses all of those things, whether it for the better or for the worse. I understand there's two sides of that argument. But then when you look at what's right next door to it and what historically has existed between Love Creek and the Peddler's Village part of Route 24, the marine zoning classification encompassed all of those things. And rather than do that by a conditional use where you're back in front of the county on a much more regular basis and with the time delays that get involved in that process, it's just not an efficient or effective use of that property. Again, because there is intended to be a mixed use, that's, you know, with the two various designations on the future land use map, that makes it a little more difficult than otherwise. Again, with commercial in the front, that front portion of the property back to, you know, probably about here is what the future land use map says is commercial. You know, even if we wanted to, I know you said conditional use, but if we wanted to bring MR change of zone so that we could do multifamily, because we'd have to do a multi-step process to do some sort of apartment building or townhomes or condominiums like the residences at Rehoboth. We'd have to change the zoning designation on the property to MR. We'd have to then bring a conditional use application, and those are usually done together, as the county's familiar with that process. But that there would be an even more, I guess, involved process as far as changes of zone, then a conditional use, and frankly, a future land use map amendment. And I know council looks at those very carefully when it does those things. And so we would have to file a future land use map amendment for the front portion of the property, then a change of zone to something that allows for multifamily, and then a conditional use on top of that. And the marine zoning classification, again, it's sort of this is a unique property. It has a lot of different segments of the comprehensive plan. It has four of the five for the state strategies map. It's, you know, again, everything about this property is segmented, and the marine zoning classification just takes them all in and allows for that, allows for this use to occur. Again, would also allow for whatever commercial would be on the first floor of this building without having to come back to, you know, as far as a conditional use. If, you know, if somebody wanted to have something other than, for instance, what they anticipate would be a great spot for a bait and tackle store or something like that, if somebody wants some other type of store, you could be back here on, you know, to try to change that. And of course, most people can't wait that kind of time as far as planning, you know, waiting however long it takes to get through a public hearing process and that. So that was some of the thoughts behind not going with a conditional use and going with a change in zone. And the only other zoning category that could possibly apply, as I mentioned, is C4. And again, that seems to be intended for larger scale than the front portion of this property would entail.
Any other questions? If not, do you have anything else to add?
No, that concludes
our... Thank you. If you want to have a seat. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition to the application? Seeing none, is the operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine on this matter?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to speak on this matter, dial 5-star. We have our first caller on the line. Dave, your line is now open. Please state your name and address for the record before making your comment.
Thank you very much. My name is David Lyons. My address is 33548 Old Salt Lane, commonly known as Unit 206 and Unit B. I would urge the commissioners to at least defer, if not deny, this application. As has been mentioned, this is a precedent-setting decision to go from AR1 to Marine. Marine is extremely wide in terms of what it does allow. I would also add that the lack of notice to the residences of Rehoboth Bay, I did not receive one. And for the record, the homeowners association is still controlled by the developer at this point. There are only two people on from the community that are part of the homeowners association. The developer is still marginally responsible for everything that goes on at the residences of Rehoboth Bay. I also think that approval of this without any regard to the environment, sewer, roads, and traffic, as been mentioned, is short-sighted. I will also tell you, as someone who bought at the property, it was not disclosed that the developer had any plans to develop this area. And indeed, Unit A, which is about to be built, will look directly upon this marine maintenance facility. The developer has been very clear to indicate that this is notional at best and reserves the right to change all aspects of this design. So without knowledge of what that marine maintenance facility looks like, I think it's imprudent to make this change. That's all my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Operator, is there anyone else?
At this time, there is no additional callers on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moorman a short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a M marine district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 5.1 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 10 and the testimony today.
Pleasure, Council.
I'd like to make a motion to defer the application for 2 weeks.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
I'll second it.
Mr. Hudson, to defer on change of zone 1985 to our next council meeting, which will be 2 weeks from now. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
All of you, as motion carried. Next.
The next matter, Mr. President, is change of zone number 1987. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC, medium density residential planned community district, to an MRRPC, medium density residential planned community district, to amend the conditions of approval for change of zone number 1557, which is ordinance number 1763, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 63.71 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the southeast side of Double Bridges Road, which is Sussex County Route 363, approximately 0.32 miles southwest of Muddy Neck Road, which is Sussex County Route 361. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 17, Parcel 39.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of a letter received from the applicant. I would note that we have received one comment, although that one comment does appear, although it has the application reference number for this application, it does appear to relate to another subdivision application before the Commission. So there is one comment in the record. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of July 27th of this year. And at the meeting of July 27th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the two reasons as outlined within the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion, along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings, is included in your paperless packets. I would just quickly add, Mr. President, that part of the Commission's recommendation was to staff to see if we can locate the origin of what was the cause behind the need for the fence in the first place. And having done some digging, staff have found that in the plus comments for the original application back from 2004, there was a note in from the plus review saying, as requested for the Kensington Park development adjacent to the McCabe Tract, a physical barrier should be erected between the property and the wildlife area, preferably a fence approximately 8 feet high. It is also requested that a minimum of a 100-foot undisturbed buffer be maintained between the state land and the proposed development, and that was part of the PLUS review comments. Thank you.
Okay, so based on what you just read, when the Planning and Zoning made a recommendation for one was the reason, second was a condition that you make a review of the records, that part's already been done. So if the council does decide to act on this favorably, it'd be for the one reason.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions from the council? If not, sir, I take it you're the applicant or the making the presentation. I'm looking around, you're it.
I guess that makes sense. Hi, my name is Greg Dressel. I'm the president of the Jefferson Creek Owners Association, and we petitioned Longview, who was the developer in this case, for removal, or to petition for the removal of the fence, because that's what the residents of the community wanted. There, Jefferson Creek has 123 homes in it, 45 being single family homes, 14 being twin homes, and the balance 64 being townhomes. And there are about 22 houses that are affected by this fence. It was virtually a unanimous vote that was polled among the community that they wish not to have the fence because the expense in maintaining it would increase our association dues, and also just the enhancement of looking at an open space behind you that has nothing but some brush and trees as opposed to a 6 foot high black aluminum fence. So for those reasons, the community has sent me here on their behalf to beg everyone that they remove the fence from the requirement. We've been quite a few years in completion. The community is operating on its own. The homeowners are part of the board. The developer is long gone as far as any improvements in the community. So that's why I'm here today.
Has the fence been built? Has the fence been built? Is there a fence back there?
No, there's not a fence. That, I believe, is the last remaining thing for the developer to accomplish. Everything else has been done.
Okay.
Can I answer any questions?
Are there any questions, anyone? Okay, you may have a seat.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Again, seeing none. Operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. If it's okay with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore with the short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a MRRPC medium density residential plan community district to an MRRPC Medium Density Residential, Residential Plan Community District to amend conditions of approval for change zone number 1557, ordinance number 1763, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 63.71 acres more or less. For the reason, the one reason given by the planning and zoning, as we had already heard that the two has been investigated. So it'd be for the one reason.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
I agree with planning and zoning. I vote yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
I vote yes based on a recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mrs. Green?
I vote yes based on a recommendation from Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Riley?
I also vote yes based on Planning and Zoning's recommendation.
I also vote yes based on P&Z's recommendation. Motion carried. Entertained a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
We're now adjourned. Thank you, everybody.